This is News in No Time. Tony Cox, Farai Chidea is away. All month, we have been exploring different aspects of hip-hop culture, as you all know. Everything from its East Coast roots to its global appeal. We've explored the hype of hip-hop from nearly every possible angle. So today, in our very last installment of the series, we look at the folks who bring us the news about hip-hop, the journalists who cover the artists, the concerts, and the controversies. Joining us are three journalists who have more than earned their hip-hop stripes. Soren Baker, executive editor at The Source magazine and author of The Music Library, The History of Rap and Hip-Hop. He is also a contributor to the Los Angeles Times. Noah Callahan-Bever is editor-in-chief of Complex, a lifestyle magazine for men about hip-hop and urban culture. And we have veteran journalist and filmmaker Dream Hampton. Her film about rapper Biggie Smalls, called Bigger Than Life, will be out later this year. Everybody, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's great. Let's start with this. When hip-hop magazines were getting started, hip-hop music spoke to the politics and the social issues of the day. The question is, does it still do it today, and does that make it more or less interesting to cover? Soren, I'm going to start with you because I can see you sitting here next to me.
Well, I think it still does cover it, and it still does exist. The problem lies is that in the golden era of rap, which is in the mid to late 1980s, and some people say the early 1990s as well, there was more balance in the presentation of rap, whether that was from MTV Raps, whether that was in magazines such as The Source, BET, etc. These type of outlets provided a broader spectrum of rap. So you could see gangster rap right next to political rap, right next to pop rap. And that has definitely changed, in my opinion, dramatically, in the sense that now the political rap doesn't get as much exposure through basically any form of media these days.
Dream, what about you? You're a veteran. You've been at the game a long time. Well, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm a veteran. I remember, that's interesting, I remember being at The Source in 1990 when we came up with that tagline, the culture, politics, and I think that certainly hip-hop for a lot of us was a way to talk about politics. I mean, I remember writing about Winnie Mandela at The Source in 1990 and 1991 when she was having these particular charges and controversies in South Africa. And it was a way for, no one would have been interested, in my opinion, at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. So it was a way, we were talking about police brutality, we were talking about a lot of the issues that affected our generation, but we were able to do it through the scope or lens of hip-hop. And that had a lot to do with the activism that was going on in New York in particular in the early 90s. We were reacting to a lot of the police brutality cases. And there was a lot of organization. I think that now, yeah, I mean, there's certainly, and we also were pioneering something. We were reacting to the fact that Spin magazine did this piece on NWA and was called N-I-G-G-A-Z for dinner or whatever. It was these really offensive kind of articles that were happening in mainstream media that had nothing to do with fans of the music covering it or people even from the generation or, you know, from the audience. And so we had an opportunity back then to kind of shape the dialogue and the discourse. And yeah, it's clearly gone off course, but it was an interesting time.
No, I've got a question for you, but before I ask it, I want you to listen to this, okay?
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me.
Okay, who gets, obviously that's Jay-Z, which hip-hop artists today get the most coverage, and why do they get the coverage that they get?
In magazines?
This period.
I mean, obviously, Jay-Z, 50 Cent are probably the most covered. Eminem. I mean, essentially, it comes down to the fact that they sell magazines and they say interesting things that, you know, compel people to want to read their stories. There are people like, say, Outkast, who are tremendously famous and make great music, but are not particularly compelling as personalities. So, I mean, I don't know if I've answered your question.
What does that mean, that there's no drama, not enough drama around?
They actually do have plenty of drama. I just think that there's something innately personal in the music of 50 or Jay or M that makes a connection with listeners, that makes them want to know everything that's on their mind in a way where Outkast will have them humming and they'll enjoy the songs, but they don't feel this personal connection like they, like Andre or Big Boy is like speaking to them, or that they can relate to what their lives are like.
Mm, Soren is smiling here in the studio. Soren, why are you smiling?
Because I have to respectfully disagree, because in my opinion, the problem is that the rap media, as it's become more mainstream, the people that actually cover rap, like, say, The Source, when Outkast was coming out in 1993, 1994, because they were from the South, they were not given the same coverage and the level of respect that they deserved because of their artistry, or given the merit of their artistry. So when you have someone like Outkast who doesn't start getting that respect for 5, 6, 7 years, whereas Jay-Z or 50 Cent or the other people that Noah named get it right off the bat because they're from New York and all the magazines are from New York, there you have your problem. You're not building. You're not building this up.
50 did not get it respect from anyone for years. It took.
And I would say the same thing about Jay-Z. No one jumped on the Reasonable Doubt bandwagon. In fact, when I was covering, when I did a review in the Village Voice of Jay-Z's album, it had to be a double review with Nas's second. It was written. And in 1993, it is true that these media outlets are on the East Coast and that they're back in the early 90s. There was certainly a bend. I can remember being from Detroit and having these arguments with office mates who were all basically East Coasters. And I had to fight to get a Tupac cover in 1993. And there was, you know, really no one more exciting story-wise. I mean, he hadn't kind of matured. Me Against the World hadn't come out, which I think was when he began to become interesting aesthetically, but he was clearly the most dramatic story in hip-hop, and I had to fight. I mean, but
why,
I only
was
got
that because
no one else wanted
was
it.
Was that because he was West Coast at the time, as opposed to East Coast?
Yeah, there was certainly, I mean, this is right after Tim Dogg's F. Compton, and I mean, yeah, so there was a dismissiveness on the part of yeah, and that's come back to bite the East Coast. I mean, the South. And now you have magazines like Ozone, which are far more interesting and relevant at this point than magazines.
Well, you know, you answered one of the questions that I was getting ready to ask, Dream, and that was how much support you get from your publications in terms of coverage. So let me put the question in another way, and I will come know it first to you, and then to Soren and Dream as well. When you are putting together pieces about hip hop, where does the pressure come from most? Does it come from the record company? Does it come from the publication or the artist? Or does it come from the audience in terms of how you have to fashion your piece?
I would say, I mean, it really comes from just the publication in order to make the best story possible. I don't think that the record labels really put any pressure, and especially as, you know, you've seen now the decline in record sales and the decline in advertising, I don't think that there's almost, that's even a consideration. I think really it comes down to whether or not, you know, a story is sellable. And, you know, then it's just a matter of how good it is.
So that's the audience then, right?
Yeah.
So what he's saying is, Soren, is that the audience? You agree with what Norris just said?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Dream?
Well, I think that hip-hop magazines, like I was saying, have begun to lose their relevance. Even when you talk about people like Jay-Z or 50 being covered, you're talking about a post-Puffy era where the business of hip-hop has become more interesting than the aesthetics of hip-hop. So that a deal with Glassow Water is more interesting, $100 million deal or whatever he ended up taking from that, is more interesting than 50's latest single, Amusement Park. So we have begun, not me necessarily, but people who are covering hip-hop still, particularly in the mainstream media, the business has become the bigger story. And I think that, you know, comes down to, like I said, a post-Puffy era. Now, you know, has The Coup or any of these other groups? And the other thing is there's not a new group. There's not a new The Coup. I mean, we produce I belong to an organization, MXG, and we produced this concert, Black August, this hip-hop benefit concert. We've been basically using the same guys, you know, this political rap, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, The Coup. There aren't, and they're all like, what, 33, 34 now? There aren't some new 24-year-olds that have come and stepped up to take their place. So we are in an aesthetic crisis with hip-hop right now, and it reminds me of what the Rolling Stone magazine had to deal with in the 80s when rock music was just so deplorable and boring and uncreative and just aesthetically kind of vapid. And I think that's one of the problems that hip-hop magazines face.
Well, we're going to talk. Hold on. Let me just tell the audience who we are, what we're doing, and we're going to continue with this conversation. And you're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox, sitting in for Farai today. If you are just tuning in, we are hosting a special roundtable on hip-hop journalism to end our month-long series on hip-hop. With me in studio, Soren Baker, who is executive editor at The Source magazine and author of The Music Library, The History of Rap and Hip-Hop. Joining us by studio, Noah Callahan-Bever, editor-in-chief of Complex, a lifestyle magazine for men about hip-hop and urban culture, and veteran journalist and filmmaker Dream Hampton. Her film about rapper Biggie Smalls called Bigger Than Life will be out later this year. Noah, hold on. I want to play one more thing for you, then I'm going to get to you and the question I have and your point. Now, that's Outkast, obviously. We talked earlier about the impact of groups like Outkast and others and the fact that they came out of the South and it had an impact on the kind of coverage that they got versus West Coast versus East Coast. Here's my question for all three of you, starting with you, Dream. Who's actually reading about hip-hop these days?
Well, there was a time 3 or 4 years ago when everyone was reading about hip-hop, when it was the pop music, and I think that that is beginning to change. I don't think that there's been anything to come and replace it, but I think that people, everyone who runs ad agencies to your, you know, to these guys stationed out in Iraq are reading about hip-hop music. The question is are they listening to the new stuff that's out? And you know, and that's something that the music industry is having to deal with in terms of record slumps. And I mean, there are only so many times that you can cover a T.I. or whomever has the one great album of the year this year.
Well, I mentioned that, Noah, particularly because across the board, print media is the readership is down. Everybody knows that. And I'm wondering if it's not being the same or if hip-hop journalism in print is not being affected in the same way.
I mean, I think it is. I will note that Complex's sales are up by 50% this year.
Good for you.
But, you know, that aside, no, it definitely, I mean, I think that you're seeing, and this sort of speaks to what Dream was talking about before, you know, when I was growing up reading The Source and reading the stuff that Dream was writing, there, like, the stories were about the people and how they made their art. And now, if you read any of the contemporary hip-hop magazines, the stories are essentially, like, poorly reported Forbes stories. They detail the deals and how the record labels have screwed over people and this, that, and the other thing. And there's very little communication of the artist's actual identity. And I think that you're seeing sort of a cycle now where because there's this lack of personal connection, there's less interest in the artists. And, you know, I think it's a greater issue, you know, having to do with MP3s and all this other stuff. But I do think on the journalism side, that's part of why you're seeing a lag in sales and a lack of new superstars.
What about that, Soren? I have a copy of The Source here in my hand.
Well, I agree with Noah on many levels, and I also think part of the problem is as rap has become more popular, people are looking at it as, oh man, I want to be a journalist, but they don't do anything to prepare to be a journalist. They don't go to school for it. They don't really study how to write well. They don't do their research, and I think unlike people of Dream's generation or our generation, where we grew up studying rap, loving rap, going to concerts, being in the environment, a lot of the kids today that are getting into it, they don't bring any perspective to it. So you have this whole generation of journalists now that have no perspective, that couldn't tell you, Dream and I and Noah probably could name 30 people off the top of our heads each that none of these people know anything about. Yet they're very important. So that also contributes to it because the writers presenting the artists, they have no perspective themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you have also artists that I want to make one point too, is like Dream was saying earlier, there's a big, big difference that's happened in rap in the last few years, mm-hmm. which is the main thing in the 70s and 80s in particular was to be the best rapper. That was the goal. It wasn't to make the most money. It wasn't to have a record label. It wasn't to be an actor. The whole goal was to be the best. And that's obviously intangible. You can't really ever achieve it, but you hope to. Now, the whole goal is to become a businessman or a businesswoman and have all these other things, and oh yeah, I rap too. They use it as a springboard, so it's a totally different mind state for the people that are actually becoming rappers. So that's why they're not as compelling.
There's so much more I wanted to talk to all three of you about, but we don't have the time to do that. So let's bring our conversation to a close with this. As a field to work in is, and I need answers to be really quick, is it still a good place to be a journalist, a hip-hop journalist? Is it good, Soren?
For me, it is. I love it.
Dream?
I think that if they diversify, like if they aren't so concerned, like again, like the 80s Rolling Stone, I mean, Hunter Thompson started going on presidential campaign elections. We have two wars going on. So I think that if the music isn't interesting, then let's talk about the things surrounding the music. Let's talk about what the audience is going through, you know, and I think that, yeah, we need to diversify. We need to talk about more than the music and the things surrounding the music. That was certainly what we were trying to do in the early 90s, at least at the Source.
Noah, you get the last word on this.
No, I mean, I agree with Dream, and that's, for me, why it's so great working at Complex and having that ability to spread my wings in a lifestyle direction so that I'm not talking about the nuts and bolts of music when there's absolutely nothing going on.
You know,
I'm so sad.
It is sort of sad because I think in one sense, a lot of people who are not familiar with hip hop, the journalism is one way to get into it. And if there's not a good place to go to get a serious level of writing, it makes it difficult. But I appreciate all of you coming on. Soren Baker is executive editor at The Source magazine, an author of The Music Library, The History of Rap and Hip Hop. He joined me here on NPR West. Noah Callahan Bever is the editor-in-chief of Complex, a lifestyle magazine for men about hip hop and urban culture. He joined us from NPR in New York. And Dream Hampton, a veteran journalist and filmmaker, joined us from Martha's Vineyard, of all places. Thank you so much. You can hear all the interviews from our hip-hop series at our website, npr.org/newsandnotes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's no doubt that 9/11 is a turning point, a pivotal moment.